From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall.
Let's face it, Annette, it's becoming a cashless world.
Wait a minute, I still use cash.
Yeah, me too sometimes. But more and more, I find it easier to pay for things in other ways. And so does WHYY reporter Aaron Mozell.
I use Venmo a lot. I use my card a lot. Cash when I have it in my wallet, but that's not often.
You think that's the case with sort of a lot of people, you know, in your social circle?
I think so. I think a lot of people my age, you know, in their 20s and 30s are getting away from cash more and more just because it's easier.
And a few businesses in Philadelphia are taking notice. The store Sweetgreen, which is a salad joint, and Bluestone Lane, a coffee shop, they don't take cash at all.
But last week, Mayor Kinney signed a law saying businesses can't be cashless.
That means that if you are a brick-and-mortar store, whether it's a restaurant or a retail shop, you have to accept cash. You can't just accept a debit card. You can't just accept credit cards.
The idea here is that some people only use cash and don't have easy access to other forms of payment.
But it doesn't seem like a lot of people here were clamoring for this law. So why was it enacted?
Today on The Why, cashless backlash.
Aaron, when this bill was introduced, it was aimed at a specific group of people. Who are they?
So those people are what's known as unbanked, which means that they don't have a bank account. And so instead, the way they pay for life is either through cash or in other cases, they may get like a prepaid credit card and put their money on that so they can, you know, swipe somewhere.
And why is that?
Well, Philadelphia, this is the poorest big city in the country, which means we have a lot of low-income people. They may just live paycheck to paycheck. And so for them, it may not make a lot of sense to kind of potentially incur fees from overdrafting and things of that nature. There are other issues that come into play, including financial literacy. Some people just find it easier to manage cash versus balancing a checkbook. A lot of low-income neighborhoods don't have banks. And so it's not that convenient for them to have a bank account.
So, Aaron, you met someone who's unbanked.
Yeah, my name is Dwight Tindall.
Okay. Can you spell Tindall for me?
T-I-N-D-A-L.
Tell us about Dwight Tindall.
So Dwight is 24 years old. He lives in North Philly with his mom, his mom's boyfriend, his other two brothers.
I got things to handle, like, you know, responsibilities. I got a little baby, his son, a boy, 3 years old.
He mostly does construction and demolition in North Philly, but also kind of around the city. Most of those jobs are under the table.
Which means he gets paid in cash.
Right.
Not necessarily paycheck. It's just by hand, you feel me? Just by hand. He pay out his pocket.
And he kind of said, you know, I don't use a bank because I don't really ever have enough money to keep money in a bank account. He's found himself, when he had a bank account a few years ago, putting money in, taking it out, putting money in, taking it out. And so it kind of just made more sense to him to use cash.
So what's his system? How does he keep track of everything?
Well, through a lot of diligence, mostly. I mean, he kind of keeps the money in one spot in his house. I didn't ask him. I knew he wouldn't tell me. And he counts it two or three times a day so he knows kind of where he's at with things. And day to day, he kind of pulls out what he needs for that day.
I take out what I'm going to eat. I know I smoke cigarettes too. I take out what I'm going to eat and take out what I'm going to smoke. And after that, it's just the rest of the money still in the house.
It's a system that works for him as long as he doesn't allow himself to think about, you know, the vulnerabilities inherent in that system, which is to say, you know, someone coming in and breaking in and finding the money or sort of not keeping good track of the money. And kind of he comes up short when he reaches back into that shoebox or that drawer or wherever he keeps it.
So this bill is passed and it's supposed to be for people like Dwight. Did you ask Dwight about the bill, if he's heard of it?
I did. Dwight had not heard about the bill. He had never been to a cashless business.
The stores I be shopping at, like, they accept cash. Yeah, I don't think I never went to a store and they accept cash. I don't know.
It really wasn't on his radar.
Right. I don't think that Dwight would be ordering miso bowls at Sweetgreen.
Probably not.
Sounds like his budget might be a little tighter than that.
I think it is. I mean, he has a job. It sounds like he has pretty consistent work. But, you know, he lives with his mom. And I don't think he would choose to do that unless he had to financially.
And so did he say that it's a good idea to keep businesses from being cashless?
He was pretty ambivalent about the issue. I mean, I did ask him.
There's this assumption that people, like, it's an indignity, you know, for someone like you to walk into a place like that and not be able to be a customer. There may be some people who feel like that, but you're saying you just go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I go to somewhere else that accept money, not the card, because I know I don't have no bank account.
So if people like Dwight, who are unbanked, don't really care about this bill, where did it come from?
So the short answer is that it came from City Councilman Bill Greenlee. He's an at-large city councilman, often the guy who's coming up with ideas on council to help low-income residents in Philly.
The genesis of it was the fact that I heard that there was starting to be some establishments down in Center City that did not take cash, that you had to have a credit card. And something just didn't sit right with me on that. I thought, I can get a cup of coffee with a credit card, and you can't, even though you have the same amount of money in the currency of the United States of America. It just didn't seem fair to me. So I put in a bill.
And you know, it wasn't until after he introduced the bill, actually, that this conversation started, the conversation around people being unbanked.
I literally had people coming up to me right here in the hallways of City Hall and on the street once they heard I did it and saying, you know, that's really right. And some of them have credit cards. They just didn't think separating people was the right thing to do. It became a very big issue, bigger than I expected it to be.
But it's interesting because in most cases, when you have an issue that impacts low-income Philadelphia, usually it comes from people who advocate for this population. They say, hey, this is an issue happening in the background. Like, we really need to figure out maybe a legislative solution. In this case, this started in the brain of Bill Greenlee.
And so if those advocates for the poor weren't really pushing for this bill, what do they think about it now?
So nobody thinks this is a bad bill. You know, like, they all think it's well-intentioned, like, it's there to help people who don't have bank accounts. It's there to highlight this issue that people may not know about. At the same time, the actual impact is not that widespread. There are only a handful of businesses at this time that don't accept cash. And so some people think that if you're going to bother to bring up the issue of people being unbanked, why don't we sort of have a meatier discussion around the issues that that causes for these people day to day? And so one of the people that brought that up was this guy, Otis Bullock. He's the executive director of this nonprofit in Point Breeze called Diversified Community Services. And he said, basically, you know, council kind of missed the mark here.
I really think that, you know, it's a missed opportunity to really address a real issue. And the real issue is that, you know, yes, you know, low-income people are unbanked. And why is that? It's not because a business went cashless. You know, it's other systemic issues that need to be addressed. And they'll celebrate this bill, but, you know, low-income people still going to be poor. And they're still going to be unbanked. And they did not address that issue.
So as we've been saying, there's questions around this bill, but Mayor Kenney did sign it, and it sort of sailed through council. I mean, anything that takes less than 6 months to get through council kind of sails through. Right. So what happened there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of flew under the radar, honestly. It was also this pretty simple concept. I mean, the bill is a couple of pages. It really just says, if you're a business in Philly, you got to accept cash. It doesn't go much beyond that. And so I don't think there was a lot for people to debate about. It's also important to note that this is an election year. The all-important Democratic primary is in May, so pretty soon. So that means that the mayor and everyone on city council, except for Bill Greenlee, who's retiring, are actively campaigning. And so no one really wants to be on the wrong side of an issue that deals with poverty in the poorest big city in the country. It's probably an issue that wouldn't get a lot of pushback generally, but especially not in an election year.
What about the businesses? Are they prepared to make this change?
So when I reached out to businesses, they were silent. They kind of stonewalled me for the most part. But even so, they have only until July 1st to make this switch.
Aaron, given that there are only a handful of businesses who were intending to go cashless, it doesn't seem like it's an issue that people are facing today. But why do you think that this bill could be helpful in the future?
So this is something that Councilman Bill Greenlee was trying to hit as well, because there's a concern that as people use less and less cash and as credit cards become more and more popular, that there will be more stores selling the basic items like toilet paper, like deodorant, the things that we kind of all need to get through our day-to-day activities, that will start becoming only available if you have credit cards or debit cards. This is a point that's brought up by Carrie Smith, who is an attorney at Community Legal Services, which has a number of unbanked clients.
If we have that kind of financial apartheid bleeding over into retail space, that's going to have a negative impact on our clients' lives.
She's not making this point for no reason. I mean, there are companies that are looking to go this way. Most notably, Amazon has these stores they're calling Amazon Go that are supposed to be cashless.
With the developing trend of retailers like Amazon Go, those are stores that are all going to be offering basic products that all individuals need, whether they have a bank account, whether they have access to a credit card or not.
Amazon pushed back on this bill. They opposed this bill because they're looking to open these around the country.
So it does make sense to put in this safeguard for people who don't have, you know, this availability of like cashless forms of payment. But, you know, as we talked about earlier, this is sort of the way the world is going. So I mean, is there some other way that we could deal with this problem?
Yeah. I mean, this is a point that I heard a couple of different times when I talked to anti-poverty advocates, including Will Gonzalez, who's the executive director of SEBA. His point is basically, let's not leave these people behind.
We need to help empower people for the future, because the reality is that we're in the digital age and the digital economy is going to grow. And Philadelphia is not an island.
So his solution is effectively is, let's get these people financially literate. Let's include them in this conversation, not separate them out just for the sake of protection now.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks so much.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov and Alex Dern, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari.
Subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. And reach out on Twitter at Shai Binyakov, at Annette JH, and at Alex Ray Stern.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.